worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments. We invite you at this time to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1 again. Psalm 139, starting at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verses 1 through 24, all of Psalm 139. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to open your word every day and hear directly from you, to hear straight from heaven day by day as we live our lives. Father, thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family today. Thank you for those listening again by way of the radio, Lord. Thank you for those listening through Africa TV. Thank you, Lord, for those also listening, Father, through just the internet. But whatever means, Lord, thank you for the opportunity for you to reach by your spirit and touch their lives. More and more help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. Help us to know, Lord, that more and more as we fill our hearts and our minds with your word, that you speak words of wisdom, words of counsel, words of encouragement, words of empowerment, words that help us to be what you called us to be. Thank you for that precious opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Grant Sewell. Grant is the associate pastor at Kingsgate Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he's also a pro-life activist, and he's going to talk with us today about an outreach called Life Change. Grant, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Pastor Joseph, it's my pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And as we start off, Grant, if you'll just take a few moments to kind of further introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll get to Life Change.
Okay, great. Yes, my name is Grant Sowell. I've been a youth pastor for about 20 years and now for about 2 years serving as an associate pastor at Kingsgate Worship Center. I have a wife and three kids, soon be celebrating our 24th anniversary.
Congratulations. Praise
and,
the Lord.
As of last night, I became a great uncle.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And been very active in the pro-life community, both here in our state and in several other states as well. And have a deep passion to protect life. And in fact, it's our first inalienable right. And without life, there is no liberty. There is no pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Okay. Then, and again, you said you're an associate pastor there at Kingsgate. Tell our listeners about King's Gate.
Pastor Terry Garrett is our senior pastor. He and his wife, Pastor Dory Garrett, as well, and they are wonderful leaders. We're very active in our community, excited about what God's doing with other churches. We're working with a lot of other churches. Revive Tupelo, which now is called Revive Mississippi, is an effort that we're working together with other churches. And just seeing souls saved in our community is exciting.
That's good. That's good. Well, you know, Grant, just before you share a little bit about life change, you know, I know years ago I had the opportunity with my family, especially when our children were younger, we had the opportunity to participate in a number of life chains. And a good opportunity both to be a good demonstration to the community, a reminding of the importance of standing for life, but also just there are just many ways in which the Holy Spirit can use that to point people back to this issue. So tell our listeners about life chain and how they can get involved as well.
Sure, we have one locally, and I'd like to mention that, as well as if you're in watching online or if you're listening in from another state, you can go to lifechain.net and find your state and what cities are available in your state that are already functioning and doing a life chain, or you could maybe plan for one next year. It's a little late this year to get one planned, but basically, Life Chain is a peaceful public demonstration celebrating life and recognizing those that have died, you know, as victims of abortion.
The many children that have died through the tragedy of abortion.
Since Roe v. Wade. And also, you know, the idea of Life Chain is to be a public witness, but there's approved signs that are all positive in message, you know, like adoption is a loving option. Jesus heals and forgives. These are some of the signs that are at the event, you know, life, our first inalienable right. And so the message is positive as people drive by in each city, and this goes on in over 1,500 cities across America. It's been going on for 29 years, and it's been 100% voluntarily, not a paid staffer. So it's just very grassroots, pro-life activists in each community being involved.
And so basically, believers, persons that want to participate, they'll get basically poster boards, poster signs, and hold them along thoroughfares, along streets, highways, that sort of thing?
Yes, and it's on October 2nd this year. Okay. It's usually in the first week of October on a Sunday, between times 1:30 to 3:30. That allows for setup. It's usually about an hour and a half of that time is standing on the street with these signs, and generally speaking, your coordinator, in most cases, has the signs available for the participants.
Okay. And so both streets and highways, or typically just inside cities, they have along streets is where they do the demonstration?
Ideally, where there's a sidewalk and it's in the major part of the city is good. In this case, for those locally, ours will be held here in Tupelo, Mississippi, at Fair Park. We'll meet at 1:30. But you go on lifechain.net and find out where they are in other cities.
So they'll be in many other cities in the U.S. as well on this day?
Over 1,500 cities.
1,500 cities. Okay.
I'd like to tell a little story about some of the impact that Life Chain has had.
There was
one story, and you hear this story played over in different ways over and over, so it happens many, many times. But there was a life chain that had taken place for over 20 years in one particular city, and a lady showed up at a life chain one day and asked the gentleman who was organizing it, could she have a sign and hold it with her and her daughter and her granddaughter, and he gave her a sign, and she began to share a story with him. She said, "You're here every year," and the guy looked surprised that she recognized that, and she says, "I was driving by about 20 years ago, and I was a single single person with no job, no husband, no boyfriend, but I was pregnant and I was scared and I had an abortion scheduled. But when I drove by and I saw your signs, it made me think about it and I decided not to abort my child and I want you to meet my child." And here beside her was a 19-year-old daughter and a grandbaby.
Praise God.
And so these things do have impact. And I've heard similar stories of that across the nation. So you never know, just driving by, having a public witness, how it's going to impact someone and people change their mind.
Grant, that's a powerful testimonial of just how God's Spirit, through working in people's lives and through a demonstration like Life Change, the way the Holy Spirit can use such a demonstration as that. Would you take time now to pray for our listeners to recognize the need for us to really become advocates for life, to really take a stand in our own corner, be a witness, someone who will speak out against the speak out for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Would you pray for those, please?
Yes, I would. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for our opportunity to serve you and to be a public witness, Lord, for love and for life and for you. And Lord God, Jesus, let our light shine before men that will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven.
Yes.
And Lord, let it be to your glory, Lord, and as people are praying and standing in whatever capacity they do, whether they be a legislator,
yes, Lord,
whether they be a pastor, whether they just be a mom or a pop or a citizen, that you would give them the boldness and the grace and the creative ideas and ways to stand for life and to honor you and to show how precious and valuable the very lives are that were created in your image.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our life and in Tupelo and in the community. And we thank you, Lord, for this program and for Pastor Joseph and the ministry out of Urban Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you. Thank you for every person that's listening today. And thank you for the opportunity you give to each and every one of us to be able to stand up and speak out on behalf of life. Lord, thank you for the fact that even though, sadly, it may be legal to have abortions, more and more there's such a need for people to recognize that it's against your will, that you've clearly told us in your word, thou shalt not kill, you shall not take innocent life. Help us to recognize, Lord, that it's our loss when people go down the tragic road of having abortions and taking the lives of unborn children. It's their loss, but also who knows how many generations have been lost every time a baby has been aborted beyond that. Guide us in standing up and being the witnesses you want us to be in our own lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our places of work, our nation, our world. Help us to recognize the great need for us to really take a stand and let people know that we stand for life. And as your word told us, choose life, that we and our children may live. Lord, help us to do just that and to be bold witnesses wherever we go, speaking the same message. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, if you would like to get in on, just tune in with on the Churban, this is how you do that. You'd go to www.urbanfamilytalk.com. Look at the top left side of the page. Go to Menu. Click on Radio Programs. Scroll down to the Hour of Intercession. Once on the Hour of Intercession page, scroll down to the particular title, you know, down to the podcast that is you want and the particular title you want. And next to the podcast, click on the Churban. Once you click on the Churban, then you'll see the Churban box within the top corner of the box with the arrow, and click the arrow. And then you can log in as a guest or using your Facebook account. But we'd like to invite you to join us on the Churban as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And again, our in-studio guest today is Grant Sowell, the Associate Pastor, Kingsgate Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he's sharing some about the wonderful outreach and the wonderful witness of an outreach called Life Chain. And if you'd like more information, we'll be sharing more, and Grant will also tell you how to get in touch with us if you want to find out how to plug in your local community if they're participating as well. We'll be right back after this break.
The transgender movement has never been about gender. It's really all about sex. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Gender is merely the PC term to establish a legal ban on sex distinctions. If you abolish sex distinctions in law, you can abolish state recognition of biological family ties, and the state can regulate personal relationships and consolidate power as never before. Without sexes, there are no families. Husband and wife becomes partner. Father and mother becomes guardian. In such a scenario, the state controls all personal relationships, and family would be whatever the state allows it to be. The result of a de-sexed society is the abolition of the family.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. When he wrapped his love all around me.
can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of His touch. So now I'm giving back to Him all the praise He's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love Him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on Him like all.
The music of C.C. Winans, the song Alabaster Box. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind to say, share a word of reminder to all of our listeners, especially to those in the Tupelo, Mississippi community. We have a special event coming up this Thursday, the 29th, called Tupelo Praise. And basically, we're inviting believers, leaders, and any and everyone that would like to come out to the Garden of Hope at 100 Park Gate in Tupelo to come out and be a part of a community prayer time, a time of gathering, praying again for families in the community, praying for our young people, praying for the leadership of our local community, praying for law enforcement, for firemen, praying for our nation, praying for the election, praying for our government. Again, it's good for God's people to come together to pray. So if you can come out at 6 p.m. this Thursday, the 29th of September, at 100 Park Gate, the Garden of Hope behind 100 Park Gate, please come out. And again, if you're living and breathing, you're invited, okay? We invite you to come out and be a part. We'd be glad to have you be a part of this very important event. It's good for God's people to come together to pray. Let me remind you also that we do have coming up in just a few weeks our fall share-a-thon, and we're still looking for listener testimonies. If you'll call in and share a testimony of how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, we'd be glad to hear that testimony and possibly get a chance to use it during our spring share-a-thon. That I keep wanting to say spring, it's fall. I don't know why, Grant, but I'm just, it's our fall share-a-thon. The number is 1-877-327-5647. I'm trying to hurry time along, I guess. 1-877-327-5647. If you'll call in and share a listener testimony, we'd be glad to hear from you. Again, we're grateful to have in studio with us Grant Sowell, who is the associate pastor at Kingsgate Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Also, he's very much involved in the importance of standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Grant, would you tell us a little bit more about your involvement with the outreach of Life Chain?
Okay, great. The Life Chain brings so many people together of so many different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. In the past years, when we've had these, first of all, it brings a lot of churches together. So here's an opportunity for churches to get outside the four walls and hit the streets with mm-hmm. other believers from other churches and build friendships as well.
And it's this coming Sunday.
It's this coming Sunday mm-hmm. from 1:30 to 3 o'clock okay. at Fair Park in Tupelo on Main Street. And there's people from all different backgrounds, the black, white, Hispanic have shown up. We have many people who have been adopted. They're out there with signs, or people who have adopted and they're there with their children that they've adopted. Some of them are people who in their past have maybe had an abortion and they've saw the light and they've received healing from Jesus, and they're there to share that love and that healing that Jesus provides for other women who are suffering that situation, and to offer an alternative of adoption mm-hmm. as well. And quite often we'll have one or two people stop and ask us questions, and it gives us an idea, option to tell them about Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic or some other effort that can help give them some direction in life.
So people sometimes stop their car, get out, uh-huh. and will come ask you things about what the signs are about.
That's right, yeah. Okay. And in fact, sometimes they'll even come out to oppose it, but they're very gentle when they do. They're not usually hostile. Mm-hmm. And we'll, it gives us an opportunity, and many times we win them over. And something our young people do, and they really like it and they get energized, is people are driving by, they're blowing their horn, or they're raising their hand, or they're giving some kind of acclamation of support. Mm-hmm. And we'll usually have several hundred cars that do that, and usually you can count on one hand how many are opposing what we're doing. Someone may say something foul or do something negative, yet it's encouraging, because overwhelmingly people, at least in the Southern Belt, you know, the Bible Belt here, are supportive of the pro-life effort, mm-hmm. of Life Chain.
Okay then. Now, have you heard of instances, maybe in other cities sometimes, but, well, kind of wherever, where people get really ugly, and as well as negative?
Yes. We were doing a 40 Days for Life, which is a similar event. That was in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And we had a guy stop middle of traffic, slam on his brakes, and just go into a skid and jump out of his car and begin to curse us and curse God. Mm-hmm. But people just responded in a Christian manner. So he, you know, there was no fight there, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's got back in his car, and I think looked like he felt foolish and drove off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope he's convicted about the way he acted.
Mm-hmm. And you, Grant, you know, it's something to think that people, you really would want to ask the question, why will people react that way to a peaceful demonstration of supporting the importance of standing for life? Well, often what we deal with, and what is sad, is that abortion, sadly, is so widespread in our culture that it's said that one out of every three or four women have had abortions. And Grant, you know, that's a huge number of people. In fact, so much so that basically that touches every congregation in this nation. And so that means the numbers of people are all over the place. Now, sometimes people make the mistake of saying, well, it's a woman's issue and men should stay out of it. Well, again, that's really a foolish statement, because the reality is 100% of the time there's a man in the picture somewhere.
That's right.
And often he's the engine behind the whole issue, because you often may have women that either want to keep their babies or they're kind of on the fence. And there's a boyfriend or a husband in the background saying, you're going to get an abortion, and basically pushes her in a direction where she really doesn't want to go, or she's hesitant to go. And so to say that it's strictly a woman's issue really is not correct. Often men are driving the issue, but they can hide because they're not the one carrying the baby, yet they're kind of pulling the strings behind. And so that doesn't sound like a woman's right at all in that situation, you know?
I agree with you 100%. In fact, sometimes it's a boyfriend, sometimes it's a pimp, mm-hmm. sometimes it's a human trafficking people doing
right.
things like that.
That's
it could right. be a father or mm-hmm. stepfather. Mm-hmm. And so certainly men are involved and they have a say. And then there's cases where a woman wants to have an abortion and the boyfriend doesn't want her to. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, you think he should have a say there as well.
That's an interesting point too, that people may not realize that, like, again, it can go both ways. And sometimes you do have a situation where the woman is determined she wants to get an abortion, but the father of the baby is pleading, please don't kill my child. Well, of course, it's both their child, but the reality is the law really says the woman can make the decision no matter what the man wants. But we know that in many instances, sometimes the woman may not want to make the decision to have the abortion, but the man is in the background. But sometimes she can make the decision by herself in spite of what the man may decide to. So it's a sad situation, so many instances, however the way you look at it. But, you know, it brings to my mind, too, Grant, the fact I often like to talk about the importance of the church using the Dear Parent letter. And I tell you, we'll pick up with that in just a minute. But I want to ask if would you take time now first to pray, Grant, that there may be some persons that are listening that recognize that maybe they've had a hand in the past of doing something that maybe encouraged someone to get an abortion, or maybe they drove someone to a clinic. Maybe they loaned them the money and somehow or another had a hand. And recognize, or maybe the woman who's had an abortion, or a man who's forced or encouraged a girlfriend or a wife, they need to know that we serve a God that is a forgiving God. And when they've made a mistake, the Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful Lord and Savior who's quick to forgive. If we'll confess our sin and ask Him to forgive us, He will forgive. Would you pray for those individuals, please?
Sure. Lord, we thank You that Your mercies are new every morning.
Yes, sir.
And while there are those of us that, at times may make mistakes in our life, whether it be regarding abortion or whatever it may be, there's a tendency to run from you when our reaction should be to run to you. And as we run to you, as we lift our eyes to heaven, you're where our help comes from.
Thank you, Lord.
And your mercy and your grace, your forgiveness is available to all who call on you and to all who ask for forgiveness. And you're there to not only forgive us, but to comfort us and to heal our hearts when we've made bad choices. And you're there to restore people and to restore their hope. And if there be any listeners now, Lord, I thank you that you would touch their lives and touch their hearts. If they've made a mistake, that they would receive your grace and your mercy. And if they're thinking about abortion, Lord, that you would show them the value of life and they would consider you in your ways, and they're higher than our ways, and that you'll help them do what they need to be a mother or father for a child.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the fact that you are a loving and a merciful Heavenly Father, and you're a God that recognizes that we, your children, when we make mistakes, when we do things that are against your will, that, again, that it hurts your heart. But, Lord, thank you for the fact that you told us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. More and more, help us to recognize, Lord, that we can come to you when we've made mistakes, when we've gone down the wrong road, when we've made bad decisions or poor decisions. We can confess our sins to you and ask you to forgive us, and you will forgive us, and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Lord, for those persons out there who recognize they've made a mistake and gone down the road of abortion or encouraged or somehow or another helped someone else, help them to recognize, Lord, that if they too will just simply confess their sin to you, that you will forgive them and that you'll make them brand new. And, Lord, help us to know, Lord, that you are a Heavenly Father, that you're not looking for opportunities to condemn, but you're looking for opportunities to just extend your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness to those that need it. Thank you for being that kind of Heavenly Father. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Grant Sowell, who is the associate pastor at Kingsgate Worship Center. Grant, once again, as you've been sharing about Life Chain, if someone wants more information about it, how can they get in touch with you, or what website could they go to get more information about Life Chain?
They could go to lifechain.net. or nationallifechain.org, or they could contact me if they're local in Tupelo at 662-791-9599, Grant Sowell.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
They could call me at 662-791-9599 for more information about Life Chain here locally in Tupelo.
Amen. And again, for persons, if you happen to be in a city where there's not one that's going to take place, but you have an interest in getting involved, you can always pray for God to really bless and to use it. Because remember, when people's hearts are convicted, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. When people's hearts are moved in the right direction, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can use the witness of these people that'll be standing along roadsides and communities all over our nation this coming Sunday. So please pray, even if you don't get to participate in one, please pray for God to really use this witness wonderfully to impact your communities, for the Holy Spirit to work mightily through these wonderful people that will take the time to help share this powerful witness about the need for us to choose life and to be a community and a culture that stands for life as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Can stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from the news team at onenewsnow.com. Read the stories of the day and watch timely videos. Our goal is to present the day's news from a biblical perspective. onenewsnow.com not only features the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world, but also news of the challenges that Christians face today. Bookmark onenewsnow.com.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android Market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
There's plenty of advice in the Bible about being a father, but tips for moms? Not so much. Dr. Tony Evans explains why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Almost always in the Bible, with some exception, when he's talking to parents, he won't always mention the mother. He will mention the father. There was a cultural reason and a biblical reason. Let me give you a biblical or theological reason first, and that is that the father was always viewed by God as the representative head of the home. He was the one through whom and to whom God would speak, and his job was to transfer it to the wife and to the children. He was the representative head at home. That's why the devil wants to get rid of dads. He wants to get rid of dads so there's no representative at home, no male representative, placing extra burden on the female. So men, if you're tempted to walk out on your kids, think twice. Because the Bible says God will visit the sins of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation. So when you walk out on your kids and you leave them to the dogs, you didn't just walk out on your kids, you walked out on your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And if you think this generation's bad, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till this generation has their kids.
Learn more about how a godly man can change his wife, his family, his church, even his world. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or a church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Sometimes I lose my ground when I feel God's not around and not answering me. Lord, you know I believe, but please help my unbelief, 'cause I don't want you to look over me. God, I know you can, and I know you will.
God will.
Oh, he'll do just what
he said.
Every single word he said, God can.
God can.
Oh, I know you will.
God will.
Oh,
he'll do
just what
every
single
word.
Some may ask, where is your God with so much trouble going on? Is he even here? Is he even here?
Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, so I don't have to fear. God, I know you care.
Music of Dwayne Woods, the song God Can. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is Grant Sowell, the associate pastor at Kingsgate Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Grant, you were going to share another story about something related to Planned Parenthood, I believe.
Yes. Regarding life, you know, Joseph, I travel a lot. I travel a six-state area. Mm-hmm. And that includes Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, and half of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. If you were to take that entire population of that territory, it's just under 60 million.
Hmm.
You know where I'm going with this? Okay. Since Roe v. Wade, we're right on somewhere between 55 and 60 million victims of abortion. Planned Parenthood.
Since 1973, since Roe v. Wade.
If you took all those numbers and combined them, it would be like wiping off that entire territory, that the entire state of Texas,
people.
All those people, Mississippi, Louisiana. That's how many people have been aborted. To give you a picture, the southern United States, about a third of America.
Huge numbers of people, yet sadly, so many seem to think so little of this issue. And I think of even, for example, as it relates to the election that's in progress now, it's not even been that big of an issue even there, too. But it's sad how little attention is given to this tragedy.
It is. When you talk about the number one cause of death among blacks, I believe, is abortion.
The number one cause of deliberate death is abortion in the black community. That's right.
It is. And the white community is not far behind, and the Hispanic community is not, in terms of some of the causes of death. And I travel to Houston, Texas, wonderful city, a lot of great things going on there. Mm-hmm. They're number one in new construction, number one in job growth, number one in remodeling, great big mega churches. Mm-hmm. Yet they're also known for human trafficking. There's over 30,000 victims of human trafficking in the Houston area. And there's the nation's largest abortion clinic. Now, I've been there to pray there and to join other believers and also to kind of do, if you will, amateur journalism there about that place. Do you know this is, they call it the Super Center. They're proud of it. And it's like a Super Center.
And it belongs to Planned Parenthood.
It belongs to Planned Parenthood. It's the largest abortion clinic in America. It's Planned Parenthood. It's six stories tall on 6 acres of land. And it is, it cost $26 million for the facility. I went there, Joseph, and I went to an abandoned parking lot. The grass was growing up through, just adjacent to the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a big hospital, more like a prison, really, because there's all these cameras and everything on it, you know, and tall fences. And I went to the edge of the property where I thought was the edge, and I was actually on the property praying. And taking a couple of pictures. The next thing you know, Joseph, the police comes flying in there like I was robbing a bank. And they're asking, what was I doing? I said, I was simply praying and taking pictures. And
they said, while you were there in Houston.
While I was there in Houston. And what appeared to be an abandoned parking lot, there were no cars and grass was growing up in it. And for whatever reason, they no longer use that parking lot, but it was their property.
The property of
Planned Parenthood, which I would not have been on. I normally stay on the sidewalk in that case because I'm not going to block entrances or, you know, or anything like that. I want to abide by the law. But the officer said, did you know that was their property? I said, no, I just thought it was an abandoned parking lot. He said, well, in that case, I'm not taking you to jail. But if you get back on it, you're going to jail. Just simply for praying and taking a picture. I said, sir, you don't have to worry about me. They're killing people inside there. You know, that's what I'm concerned about.
And how did the officer react to that?
He said, you just better not get back on their property, and he drove off.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was located, Joseph, as many of them are, mm-hmm. in between two colleges and a mostly black and Hispanic neighborhood, right. which is the target.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
go back.
Very typical of Planned Parenthood, that they deliberately place their abortion clinics largely in minority neighborhoods all over the nation.
About 80%, in fact.
And that's so sad.
It is. And I know you've done, and I've been with you, and you've gone into churches, and specifically sometimes black churches, and told of the racism that the founding of Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still going on today.
Yeah, and you know, I think of this like, one thing that comes to my mind is there's a powerful documentary called Maafa 21,
yes.
M-A-A-F-A 21, produced by the Ministry of Life Dynamics out of Dallas, Texas. But it's a powerful expose of helping people to better understand who Planned Parenthood is, what they've done, and what they continue to do. This is not something from many, many, many years ago. This documents what they do right up until today. And part of what they do is, like, many don't realize that some of their original goals when they were first founded was they felt like there were too many black people and they needed to come up with a way to exterminate them, and they not know what they were doing. Well, for people that say, well, that's ridiculous, all they need to do is Google Margaret Sanger and look at some of the quotes she spoke as it relates to her goals behind what Planned Parenthood does. And again, sadly, she was a very wicked person, very racist person, and that's largely who Planned Parenthood is today, but people don't realize it.
They even give Margaret Sanger awards.
They do. They yeah. do, sadly. And it's sad to think of people that receive them, you know, too. Well, but you know, Grant, as it relates to an outreach like Life Chain, I would just want to encourage every single believer, get involved in your community in some kind of witness, standing for life. Because again, God can use you to save babies. Not too many days ago, we had the privilege of having a young lady that's the director of a pregnancy clinic, actually in Houston, Texas,
yeah.
In the same city you were just speaking of. And she shared of an instance where a similar story to what you just shared, a gentleman that he drove for UPS, actually, and he stopped one day and shared how that what they had, a mobile pregnancy clinic just outside of that same clinic, the Planned Parenthood clinic. They would park out there, and often they would draw women who are on their way to Planned Parenthood to come by, get a free ultrasound, and these women time and time again would choose to keep their babies wonderfully. Well, this man stopped one day to tell them that about 18 years earlier, he had seen one of their units, and God spoke to him through just seeing the presence of that unit there, and instead of aborting, having his child aborted, he and his girlfriend chose to keep their baby. And he said, now my daughter's about to go off to college, and he loves her so much. Well, he's thankful that a witness was there to be there to speak out and shine for Jesus Christ in the room and encourage them to keep their child, who they're so proud of and thankful for today.
While I was there, I visited, there was what they call the Blue Bus.
And
it's the Blue
Bus. That's the ministry.
That's the ministry,
the Blue Bus.
In fact, the Blue Bus is so effective. I think about 97% of the women who get on that bus get mm-hmm. off without aborting their child.
They choose life.
And a lot of times they choose Christ as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they've been so effective that the abortion clinic has put up a permanent metal sign saying the Blue Bus is not Planned Parenthood because it's hurting their business.
Well, praise God. We need to pray that they'll hurt their business more and more, because sadly, you know, I think of this, Grant, their business is killing babies.
That is
their business is killing babies. That's what they do. And that's a sad business to be in.
I'd like to add something to that. Mm-hmm. Despite that, their president, Cecile Richards, I believe is her name, she had gone on national television and said they do mammograms and all these things, and they don't mm-hmm. do mammograms.
Mm-hmm.
And Lila Rose, great pro-life activist, exposed mm-hmm. that
right.
by having a bunch of phone calls to abortion, Planned Parenthood's all over the United States and asking to schedule a mammogram, and guess what? They don't do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she lied on public TV. And then mm-hmm. in Congress, she tried to lie again. Well, they already have a record of her saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, noticeably, there was a debate recently. We got presidential elections coming up and everything. And guess who was standing beside Bill Clinton during one of their outings?
Who was that?
Cecile Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see her with them a lot. And that's very concerning to me.
Right. Well, of course, Planned Parenthood very much wants to see Ms. Clinton elected, and they're very much behind her. But it's sad to recognize that, again, the life issue really has not been as big an issue as it should have been in this election cycle. But the fact is, as believers, we really need to support candidates that will support life and that will clearly stand and support life, because that's a biblical perspective. You know, the bone of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. Proper translation, you shall not take innocent life. That's very clear. That's very clear. And one of the sad realities is, though, there's so many people that will support the candidate that supports abortion right up until the moment before the baby would be born. And they don't see a big problem with that at all. And so, Grant, that's a sad testimony on our culture.
It is, and I think they bought into a false narrative, a narrative that puts the focus off of the child, which this is the issue, the child, and
that's
they
right.
put it on the woman, which we shouldn't ignore the woman. Certainly we should care and have compassion and do everything we can to help the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But to make it just about her rights to do with her body as she chooses, we're not talking about liposuction or something like cancer or something. We're talking about a life within her.
Another human being
that has a unique DNA to any other, a heartbeat, brainwaves, a living being, and used to 10, 15, 20 years ago, they used to try to talk about the science and calling it a fetus and a blob.
Mm-hmm.
Now, science has proven that this is a life, and it's a life very early on,
at the
moment of conception. And now they don't have that debate because they lose it every time. So I think we win by taking that debate and changing the narrative and bringing it back where it belongs, the life of the child, and should it be protected.
That's right. That's right. Well, Grant, our time is about completely gone. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing about Life Chain, and appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you again for all of those that have been a part of our listening family. And again, if you haven't found out yet, find out if there's a Life Chain in your local community happening this coming Sunday, and please get involved. And if you don't manage to get to go out and be a part of those that are holding the signs about life, at least pray for God to anoint these important demonstrations for life, these important displays and witnesses for life. Pray for the Holy Spirit to use it mightily to impact people. And amongst other things, I imagine they'll save babies this coming Sunday as well, like they always have. Thank you so much again for listening today, being a part of our listening family. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.